ESPN Kansas City presents Golf Underground with Kevin Ward and Brian Sullivan.
Welcome to Golf Underground Radio, ESPN 1510, and on the FM dial 94.5. It's your boy Sully here with his buddy Wardo.
All right, my man Wardo, the I would say the most handsome and one of the best golfers here in Kansas City. But you know,
we've got a pretty good one in the studio today.
We do. And you know, before we get into it, what's it like to lose in a, let's say, a club championship, for instance? I mean, I want to get right to it.
Yeah,
the emotional aspects, like how do you recover from losing? Where'd you lose, Wardo? Because you are supposed to be really good.
I've lost many a times, but one in particular that we're going to dive in later today on is when I lost to Mr. George Brett in the first round of the Mission Hills Club Championship.
You lost to George Brett, the famous George Brett.
He came in as the 15 seed. Shouldn't have been in the gosh darn event.
Two guys were out of town.
Is that how you did it?
And guess what? He was crown champion.
So George Brett, you mean from the Kansas City Royals, George Brett?
Absolutely.
He beat you.
Absolutely.
Now, the word on the street was you were actually you're coaching George Brett. I mean, so the goal was to make him better at this. And it was like Yoda. It was like a little, and then Yoda got beat by the Luke Skywalker.
Absolutely. I really stabbed myself in the foot that week. But you know what? I was super proud to see my good pal. You know, the field was great that week. But we're going to get more into that in the next segment. But first things first, welcome. Thanks, George, for taking the time for the show. You know, you're a great ambassador to the city and whatnot. But just tell us a little bit about your life after baseball.
We don't. Okay. Used to be a great ambassador for the city. Now we have a guy named Patrick Mahomes.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Oh my God! I went to a basketball game a couple weeks ago in Lawrence, and they introduced me. And they introduced Patrick Mahomes, and it was like, I thought I got a pretty good applause. And all of a sudden, he brought the house down, and I'm getting teased after the game by Wardo and Gary Woodland and some other guys. Like, God, this is embarrassing. You got a nice clap.
He got the golf clap.
Yeah.
It's because half the kids don't even know who you are. I was still playing.
I'm 65 years old now, and these kids are 20. I quit playing 25 years ago. So
that's unbelievable.
Yeah, but it was what's up with me right now?
Yeah.
Well, I got three kids out of the house. That's good news.
How old are they now?
25, 24, 23. Two of them are living in Kansas City. One's in a senior year at Old Miss.
Nice. Oh.
And I said, Robin, take your time. You can take another year if you want. Make it 6 years. Who cares? Because I like going down to visit.
Yep.
And let me see. What else do I do? I still work for the Royals.
Oh, you do? Tell us what you do for the Royals.
I don't know what my job is, but it's a good job.
Yeah.
You know, I think if you don't know what your job is and you get paid, it's a good job.
I would say.
I go to spring training every year with them, suit up every day. Used to throw a lot of batting practice, hit a lot of fungos to the infielders.
You got fantasy camp coming up with our good pal.
Let me finish this story first, okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay? And then I blew out my shoulder again, so I can't throw batting practice, but I can still hit fungos. And just kind of there as, talking to the players, and then I spend a lot of time with the minor leaguers once they get there, and I really enjoy that a lot more than the major leaguers, because they're more ears, you know?
Their eyes
get big when you talk to them.
Right.
Major leaguers look at you and they go, yeah, big deal, you played.
Right. Do you think these younger guys, I mean, certainly everyone's going to know the stars of the past, but do you think they really get it, that it's George Brett in front of them? Do they still get enamored by it?
The minor league guys do, because there's pictures on the wall all over spring training. There's all the guys that made the All-Star team, and my name's on there a bunch of times.
Right.
So they're familiar with me. And a lot of these guys, I meet them their first year. When they come in, I get to meet them all. So then I follow their careers through the whole minor league system. And, it's a lot of fun for me. I really enjoy it. So I get to do that 6 weeks a year. And then I go to a lot of games during the season, sit with the general manager. And once in a while, he'll ask me a question. And I'll give him my answer. And sometimes he listens, sometimes he doesn't. And thank God he didn't listen a few years ago, because I told him he should trade Lorenzo Cain.
Did you?
This is about 2013.
Did you really?
2013.
No. What were you seeing
but I didn't see a lot of hard hit balls. And I thought his value would be good, because he was sitting over 300. And then all of a sudden, he figured it out and he started hitting the ball and a little bit harder or a lot harder. And I don't think we... we go to the seventh game of the playoffs in 14 and win the playoffs in 15 without him.
Well, that
so
him,
I'm glad Dayton didn't listen to me on that one.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Your wife doesn't listen to you either.
No. So. Well, who does?
You told her not to start the Little Flower Shop, and here she is embarking on a pretty
cool
journey.
Yeah, year five. So. And then I said, don't expand, and they expanded.
All right. So we know in your when you're not helping the Royals in the minor leaguers, you're golfing.
Well, I play a lot of golf, yeah. It's a passion that I have. I mean, I liked playing golf during the season when I was playing.
Okay.
But I would only play on off days.
Yeah.
And if you play once a month, you're not going to get very good. Once I retired and had my first son when I was 39 years old, retired at 40, and in 42 I had three of them. So, you know, when I first retired, I didn't get a chance to play that much because we had three little boys at home,
and
they're all in diapers.
Yep.
So, you know, I'd feel guilty if I went and played golf. And if I did go and play golf and I won $20, I'd come home and give it to my wife.
That's a good move.
I said, here, I played golf. I won $20. Here, you go spend it, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
And that really didn't do much for her. You know, $20, gee, thanks, George. But, you know, I would always go and hit balls, you know, and I tried to get my kids to go hit balls in the summer with me. It's hard to hit balls when it's like 95 degrees and you're a 7-8-year-old kid. You got a pool in your backyard. You got Nintendo in your basement. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden they would always say it's too hot. But I would still go. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of times I was practicing bad habits, which isn't good.
Well, I want to ask you that, right? But were you ever worried that the practicing the golf swing would affect the baseball swing?
No, I think they're very similar.
Do you?
Just on a different plane.
Sort of the hips and the load and the coil and all that?
Well, you know, obviously a baseball swing is more vertical with or horizontal with your waist and your thighs and stuff. And the other one, you're kind of going up and down a little bit. But I think a lot of the fundamentals are the same. My old hitting coach, Charlie Lau, used to say it's the same swing but a different plane.
Huh.
And so I really listened to him, and if he thought that, then I'm going to think that.
Actually, for all those of you out there that have a kid that's playing both sports, this is a great testimonial for the he's written a couple articles on that in Golf Digest, et cetera. So, again, as we dive into more of the instructional side, I think that's a big thing is they're two similar swings on different axes. So, again.
Well, they did Seabass and Rissmiller's pro. John Tattersall did that story on me in Golf Digest or Golf Magazine or something.
Exactly.
Comparing a golf swing to the baseball swing. And whenever we go on trips or something and I'm not playing good, he always says, well, wouldn't you play baseball? You know, just think of that. Think of that swing.
Really?
And all of a sudden, I start doing it. Now, working with Kevin, there's still some baseball terminology in there. And I've never played this well in all my life, you know.
Yeah,
but I practice. I'm not afraid to practice.
Well, you know, and that's
and you've got to practice.
Yeah.
You got to go out there and hit balls. But in order, you just can't go out there to hit balls. You got to go out there and work on something. So, you know, you got to go. You know, practice perfect. They say practice makes perfect. No, practice perfect. Practice makes perfect.
Right.
So you got to every time I practice, I'm just not going out there to get loose. I'm working on getting getting my hips or whatever. You know, whatever numbnuts tells me to do over here.
Right,
well, and
right.
as we talked about in last week's program is basically very process oriented. You got to figure out, you got to put the time in. You've devoted to 3 hours to a week, or at least that's my sales pitch to you.
That's your pitch.
George, walk us through a day in the life of George Brett in retired mode and how regimented you are and how that relates to back when you were playing and what that looks like.
Well, I get up usually at 6 o'clock every day. It was just a habit I got into when I retired. And we had, when my oldest son started going to school, I was getting up at 7. And getting one kid ready for school wasn't that hard. But when all three of them started going to school and you get up at 7, you got 45 minutes to get them all ready, you know, and food's everywhere. And, you know, so I started getting up an hour earlier than everybody just so I could have some peace and quiet, read the paper, listen to the news on the radio, do the crosswords and things like that. Take my kids to school. I would usually go out and have a cup of coffee with a bunch of buddies. And I still get up at 6 every day. Still go out, have coffee with my buddies, come home, walk my dog 2 to 3 miles every day
at
9 o'clock.
You exercise, okay.
Yes, well, that's not even exercise.
Yeah,
and then
exactly.
I usually go home. I have a gym in my house, and I usually elliptical because I have bad knees.
Yep.
I have a treadmill in there, and I have an elliptical machine. Mm-hmm. And I usually do that because it's easier on my body.
Right.
With all the knee surgeries I've had, it's just any time I go out and do too much, even if I walk 18 holes on a hilly course, my knees
hurt
me the next day.
Yeah.
So I try to do as much non what would that be?
Impact.
Non-impact workout.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of mobility, a lot of stretching, yeah. opening things up.
And then I got a steam and a sauna in my house. So then I'm starting to do little weights mm-hmm. And not to bulk up, but just tone up.
Right.
Because I never really lifted weights
in my life.
Did you
ever have back problems?
Once in a while.
Yeah.
But never nothing serious. You
yeah.
know? But, well,
I know, you know,
playing
like,
on AstroTurf for 20 years, oh. I mean, that stuff's not good for your body.
No, I bet.
It's
well, that's what I was
aches.
Wondering. I was wondering if turning, right? So I blew my ACL in the left knee, and now, you know, after 18 holes, just that torque,
yeah.
it hurts,
mm-hmm.
right?
Come on, Sully.
I'm telling you, I'm like a wimp right now.
You're
you
a little
know?
Bit of a wimp.
Maybe I'll use that as an excuse. This is why I don't exercise.
Yeah.
I was explaining, George, it's important you know that he represents the low handicaps. I'm representing all the regular
so
guys.
So what's your handicap?
Well, I'm at a 10 right now.
That's
but,
good.
You know,
that's good.
Yeah.
yeah.
But I was telling him, you know, I had a good year last year. I went from a 7 to a 15.
You made more money, didn't you?
I did make more money,
yeah,
as
exactly.
a matter of fact.
It's all about making money.
It's about
so,
making
right.
money.
You know, so
I got...
many people brag, oh, yeah, I'm a 4. Yeah, 4 my rear. You can't break 95 and you're a 4. It sounds good, but you pay out every time you go play
absolutely.
Golf.
Well, that's what I was telling him, too. I said, listen, I made it to a 15. You'd think that you'd be making some cash at that.
Yeah.
Now, when you're playing to a 20. So right. So this is my year, George, to get fixed.
I hope
now,
so.
Now, we know that...
After the workout, yeah. then I yeah. usually play golf.
Okay.
I'll go play golf, you know, with same guys pretty much every day.
And you play Mission Hills?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much exclusively. Every
yeah.
once in a while someplace else.
Yeah.
Go home. If the Royals are at home, I usually go to the game. If they're not, usually go in the backyard and barbecue something.
That's
awesome.
Yeah, I love
that
the barbecue.
Sounds like a good...
I love to cook. I love
yeah.
to barbecue. That's what I do. Now that my wife has the little flower shop,
yeah.
guess what? She doesn't get home from work until 5:36, and if... I'm home.
You're right. Like Mr.
You know,
you're Mr. Mom.
Oh, but you know what? I love it. I really love it.
Oh, that
really
is awesome. That is awesome. So what do you have a Coors Light with you, or what's usually the
usually
routine?
A Coors Light if I'm outside in the
okay.
hot weather.
I'll tell
in
you
the
what,
wintertime, if I'm out there, I usually have a glass of red wine.
Guy can flat out grill.
Yeah.
Guy can flat
but
out
I love
grill.
It.
Yeah, this is it's a good life he's got going here.
He's got a pretty good life.
You know what? As much as I respected you as a baseball player, You're the man every man wants to be.
Well, just think if I would have went to bed every night at 9 o'clock like I do now when I played.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
All right, we're gonna take a commercial break. We come back. I really want to break down. I mean, this is a real important segment, George.
Okay.
I want to learn about the emotional defeat that you dropped on Kevin Ward
okay.
during the Mission
sure.
Hills Club Championship. Is that it, Ward?
Yeah.
I'm
going to
step out
2 years
for this
ago.
Segment.
Yeah, no, I want to hear the hows and what it felt like when you were down two after the first two holes and how you mentally dominated him to get to the top and to become Mission Hills Club Champ.
Yeah. It's the all biggest right? upset in the history of golf.
Biggest upset. All right, come on back. You're listening to Golf Underground with Sully and Wardo on ESPN Radio.
Get a fixed rate in the low threes, no out-of-pocket closing costs, 100% financing, and no payments for 2 months from A1 Mortgage. Call 816-822-8888.
Kansas City's home for the worldwide leader, ESPN Kansas City, the Dan Le Batard Show, the Jim Rome Show, and almost entirely sports with Joshua Briscoe. ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM and 94.5 FM.
Hi, this is Kevin Ward, co-host of Golf Underground. Swing Fit is a goal-focused program that includes new wave training techniques in order to perform better in the gym and on the golf course. This program was founded on bringing tools that were previously only accessible to our players to the amateur golfer. That said, our mission here at Swing Fit is to get you more biomechanically sound in the gym and on the lesson tee. You'll be exposed to a series of movement patterns, including swing speed, flexibility, and mobility. For those that are looking to buy into the fitness component of golf, as well as hit the ball further, this is the program for you. If you'd like more information about the program, please visit thegolfstable.com.
Attention to detail and the highest quality materials is why so many businesses, schools, and homeowners look to Acme Floor Company to create the finest wood floors in KC, including the beautiful court KU plays on every home game. If you're looking to install, refinish, or touch up your hardwood floors, why not call the best? Give Acme Floor Company a call at 913-888-3200 or go by the Lenexa showroom. Acme Floor Company works with both residential and commercial customers. 4 generation family-owned and operated.
Welcome back, Golf Underground on ESPN Radio. That's 1510 on the AM dial, 94.5 on the FM dial. We're having a blast today. We are really lucky today, Wardle, because we got the Kansas City legend.
He's Hall of Famer in the house.
The Hall of Famer in the house. That doesn't happen every day, but in the community, he's certainly one of the most well-known, but impacted a lot of people in this town. And so it's a real honor, George, personally, to meet you and to be here in studio. So
thank you for coming. No problem.
I really, really appreciate it. Now, before the break, we were having some fun with it, Wardle, not trying to you know, come down on you too hard. But you're how old now, George?
65.
And you won the club championship. And, of course,
at
one of
64.
The matches, 64. Right. But we talked about...
How old are you, Wardle?
Yeah.
I am, gosh. I was 35 at the time that you worked me over pretty good. So I am now 36. So...
Yeah, so walk us through this journey. You two, because you had to play each other, and I know we were kidding a little bit. You had them two up after the first two holes, and then the match turns. That's fun. I want to hear about that.
You know, the match ended at the cart barn when he walked up to me and said, "Wardle, you want to ride together today?" And I was planning, on walking, and I said, "Sure, I'll ride with you, George." And so George,
it didn't bother you the first two holes. Why would it bother you the next 15?
Well, you know, then you started asking what Turtle and I were doing for dinner. and then how quick I was going to beat you. And clearly, my tip to all you out there is do not ride with someone mentally stronger than you. Do not do it.
That's a great tip.
So as Brian Norton said, you know, he felt like he's never been a bigger underdog when they got to the final match. But let's start with how you worked through and picked off the field as the 15 seed. This sounds like a Bucknell 15 seed.
Well, I remember I was having lunch that day. It was a Kansas City Man of the Month Club, and Jonathan Thomas was being inducted into it. And the luncheon was at 11:30, and my tea time was 1:30. And I told Jonathan to keep your speech short. It was at the River Club, and there was probably about 40 people there. And next thing you know, it's 12:30, 12:45. I'm teeing off in like 45 minutes. I'm in a suit.
Oh, no.
And I got all my clothes in the car, so I run down there. I'm changing on Southwest Traffic Way. You know, I'm just get a red light. I'm pulling my slacks off and putting on my shorts, and, you know. And I pull into the club, run down to the range, hit some balls. And I said, man, I'm hitting it pretty good today. And I'm down two after two holes to Wardle.
Well, I saw him on the range, and he goes.
I don't think I finished the first hole. I think I'd still be out there playing if I had to put a score in, you know. And then somehow lost the second hole, and I don't remember where it turned, but yeah. I figured as long as I was in the match, it was close.
Right.
The more pressure was on him, and obviously he would be real embarrassed if I beat him. Believe me, I never thought I'd beat him.
Sure.
But now I was one up going into 17. I don't know how that happened, and he hit it out of bounds on the 17th hole,
just crumbling.
And he came over and he said, "Congratulations!" And I felt terrible for him because it's. That was probably the second biggest upset in club championship history at Mission Hills Country Club.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the next day I went out there and I had five birdies, first 15 holes, and beat Brandon Buckley. The next day I got up and down from the rough from 80 yards to beat Jigger, who I play with a lot.
Yeah.
And I bet I beat Jigger maybe twice a week, maybe once a week.
Yeah. You guys are pretty even. I mean,
yeah,
you
but
know.
He always beats me. And then the next day, who do I play the last day?
He played Brian Norton, one of the most accomplished players here in Kansas City. And
who I think 2 weeks prior to that was over playing in the British Senior Open and came
really?
In 20th.
Wow.
The British amateur. I think he was over there. I think he came in 20th or 25th.
Man, that's legit.
20th or 25th. And he came back, and I was up two on him after two holes, parred one and birdied two. And he never had the lead. And all of a sudden, I get to 17, and it's tied, and I hit a great drive, but it's in the left bunker. I'm 165 yards out. The shot heard around the world. And all these guys are standing there watching. The pros watching. A bunch of my friends are watching. A bunch of his friends are watching. And I'm kind of not up against the lip, but I'm about, you know, 3 feet back.
Yep.
For those of you that haven't played that hole, there's a big creek short.
There's a big creek short, and the pin's up. And I'm not good at shooting at front pins from 60 yards. And so I'm going, what do I do? What do I do? And everybody's saying, you got to lay up. You got to lay up. And I'm saying, well, even if I lose this hole, I still got the 18th hole.
Yep.
I hit the greatest 7-iron out of the bunker to about 6 feet.
Attaboy.
Didn't even come close to sniffing the putt. He gets up and down. We both have like 3-footers, and I had a 6-foot putt. I got a 3-footer left, and I said, "Good, good." Oh. He said, "Yeah." So on the 18th hole, there's Belinder on the left and trees on the right, and I have a tendency to hit it on Belinder once in a while, so I just aim at the trees. So sure enough, I hit it in the trees. I hit a low 4-iron underneath the trees to 115 yards out, and he hits a drive right down the middle. He lays up. He's laying up, but he kind of pushes it. He hits it in a bunker, one of those bunkers. That's about a 95-yard bunker shot.
Yeah, it's a tough spot. Yeah.
And he kind of hit it a little fat, and he came up short. Well, I hit a great shot. It's about 7-8 feet short of the pin, and he hits this beautiful chip. And the ball goes up, and you could tell it's going to land 6 or 7 feet short.
Yeah.
It hits my little plastic ball marker. I swear to God. It bounces 5 feet in the air, rolls all the way to the back of the green.
No way.
Now he's got an impossible up and down. Sure enough, he putts it, and now he's still outside me. He putts it again and misses it. He comes over and says, "Congratulations, champ." And I swear to God, I had tears in my eyes.
Oh, my God.
It's the only trophy. Sully, I'm telling you the truth.
Wow.
It's the only trophy I have ever won in my life where I didn't have a team behind me.
Really?
Or with me. I have never won a trophy in my life by myself. I've never won a race. I've never won a weightlifting. Never won a nothing.
Wow.
And that meant the world to me to be able to do that. And my wife was out of town, and sure enough, she called me like, "I can't believe you won. I can't believe you won." She was in, I don't forget where she was, but she was going crazy.
Why do you think it meant that much to you?
I don't know. It was just to be the underdog in every match you play.
Yeah.
You're playing something that you really love to do, and all of a sudden feel your game really come at the right time, rather than just going out there and playing with your buddies, to go out and shoot. I think I shot even par the last day.
Wow.
To go out there and be able to shoot 70 with all the pressure in the world on you, it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Now, if they would have put yellow ropes up, I mean, there's no way I could have finished that round. And bleachers and having that guy walk behind you. What are they called? The score
for? Standard bearer,
The standard bearer walking behind George Brett, you know, down one, even, whatever. I mean, I couldn't have finished.
Come on. I don't know if I believe you. No, listen, you've played in front of enough people in your years.
Golf is different. Golf is
why?
Different.
No, I'm curious about that,
you know,
though.
I was more comfortable playing my sport, not somebody else's sport. And I remember a story Freddie Couples told me. We used to play a lot of golf together. And he's in Chicago. We're playing the White Sox, and they're playing the Kemper Open or something back then, in the 90s, late 80s, early 90s. And they bring out some of the guys, and they put, you know, balls behind home plate, and they're hitting wedge shots out to center field. And they offered me if I wanted to. I said, "Hell no, I'm not doing that."
Right.
And the guy from the White Sox, the guy from the Royals did it. And Freddie was, like, maybe the number one player in the world in the early 90s.
Yeah.
And so he got up there, and I think Fred came in second or third out of four people. And afterwards, we went out and had a beer, and I said, "Fred, what the hell happened?" He said, "I've never been so nervous in all my life.
Way.
I was out of my element." You put him on a golf course, I don't think anybody's going to get it.
Not him.
But not on the baseball field with everybody yelling and screaming, and the guy behind you yelling, "Cold beer here, hot dog here, you know, get your program here." I mean, it was hard for him to really focus, you know?
Yeah.
And golf is just harder for me when it really, really means something, and I think when I won that tournament 2 years ago, it was special. And this year, I lost in the semifinals, you know, so I played well again, you know.
Isn't it fun, though, that you can still get those juices flowing? Not just because you're George Brett, but I think that's what the game offers, right?
Well,
we were talking about this on last week's show. Is it doesn't matter if you're playing at a Muni. You could be at Swope, or you can be at Loch Lloyd, where I am, or Mission Hills. And you could be at any age, and you still
buddies.
Feel that juice.
Right.
And you think of how many business guys in town we know, guys who've killed billion-dollar deals, million-dollar deals, and they shriek over that three.
Mm-hmm. Right?
You could put them in front of a Wall Street. They could be ringing that bell on Wall Street, no problem. That 3-foot putt, they're freaking out over.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny?
Mm-hmm. You know,
well,
I think,
well, Kevin might be the worst putter I've ever seen.
I putted poorly when you beat me, pal.
You putt poorly every time. I mean, you go right over the edge every time. He's like a 16th of an inch from shooting 61 every time.
I know.
All those 16th of an inches are just on the other side of the hole.
I've seen them.
Well, you know what? Right over the lip all the time.
You know what? My New Year's resolution then, George, is to become a better putter so I can beat you.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like Pat Brooks's New Year's resolution. Best line I've ever
what
heard.
What is it?
"Okay, guys, I got a New Year's resolution this year." I go, "What is it, Pat?" He says, "I'm not going to cheat in golf this year." And then there's about a 10-second pause, and he goes, "As much."
That's funny. No, but I want to get back to you coach George a lot. You guys talk a lot about golf. So it had to be fun for you. I know, listen, no one likes losing, right? But after he beat you, you kind of feel a little goofy, but you had to be a little pumped up. Like, oh my gosh, the time we spent, how cool is it to see that what you taught actually works when people take what you teach them and practice and drill and rehearse?
You know what? I've just given him some tools over the years, just relating it back to what he does and his craft and, you know, some different things to keep it simple for him. Again, it's a game and I want him to have fun with it. So that's just what I've done, is just kind of be a second set of eyes if he ever has anything that comes up. Or like last week, he was in Arizona. He called me and said, hey, I'm doing this. What do you think about this swing thought? And so, again, knowing his swing and knowing him as a person, I know how he learns. Yeah. And again, I'm not good at much, but I can dive into the, you know, an accomplished athlete and Hall of Famer like him in order to help him get better. And so that's kind of my mission is to, you know, you can't teach one swing to everybody. You know, some guys do it and they do it efficiently. I'm a big believer in just, you know, get it on plane and rotate your body.
Well, I was playing golf last week out there and I parred the first hole, parred the second hole, birdied the third hole and the fourth hole. And the next six holes I hit in the desert. And then I didn't play for like 2 days. I said, golf's no fun. I hate golf. And then two days later, I called the pro out there, and he's looking at my swing, and he's doing this. And he says, you know, George, you should try to point your club up. And I told you that.
Yeah.
Point your club up in the air, you know, the toe
what,
up
a take
in the
away?
Air. On the takeaway, you bring it, and it's closed all the time. And then you usually come over it. He said, I guarantee every out of bounds was to the right, wasn't it? Yes, like a pull hook. He says, you got to get that thing up there, get that toe pointing in the air on the way up, and then on the way forward on your up, so it should be pointing up again.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, by the end of this two-hour lesson, all of a sudden, I'm hitting the ball pretty good.
Yeah.
And then I went out and played, and I was three over. The next time I played, I was three over after the first three holes and shot 75.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty good playing.
It's pretty good. So you bogeyed the 18th hole, hit it in the water.
I hit it in the water every time on that hole.
So do I.
I hate that hole.
But I called Kevin and I said, this is what the guy wants me to do. And he says, well, we'll look at it when you get home.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. So you like golf again, is what you're saying?
I love golf.
See how quick it turns, right? Yeah, for most, it usually happens on the 18th hole, right?
Yep.
I'm back.
You're back.
I'm back. I sucked for 17. I'm back. I love it.
It always keeps you coming back.
All right, when we go to commercial break, something, Wardo, you brought up was you can't coach everyone the same, which also I think certainly applies to baseball, right?
Baseball.
So I want to break this down in a sort of a bigger picture, golf being our example. But a good example is, you know, I'm a feel guy. If I have a coach who gives me so much technical stuff, I die.
Mm-hmm.
My brain gets in the way. There's a part of the brain that's analytical that destroys people. And it happens in business. It happens in baseball, right? I mean, that's why they get sports psychologists now exist. But I want to break down, George, both of you. How do you learn enough about the person you're going to coach so that you then craft the perfect coaching, right? Because only then will you be successful. So, hey, we're having a great time. This is Golf Underground. We're with George Brett, one of Kansas City's finest ambassadors. We're having a blast on that Golf Underground on ESPN Radio.
This is Golf Underground on ESPN Kansas City, 94.5 FM.
Show us your tier and win up to $500 in free slot play. Bring in your Players Club card from any local casino to 7th Street Casino and join the Lucky 7 Club and win up to $250 in free slot play based on the status of your casino club card. And once you're a Lucky 7 Club member, you can play and earn additional chances to win up to $250 in free slot play. You heard that right. You may have a chance to win up to $500 in free slot play. So don't wait. Come in today. For a chance to win up to $500 in free slot play, 7th Street Casino is definitely where it's at. For good times, great friends, and free slot play, 7th Street Casino is where it's at. By the way, here's where it's at. Just minutes from Power and Light on the corner of 7th Street and Ann Avenue in the heart of KCK.
Hey, Brian Sullivan here, and I've got a tip for you. You've got to head to Unforked. It's an amazing restaurant. What I like about these guys is they promise to buy and support seasonal, local ingredients first. And I love the fact that they source from smaller, family, GAP-certified, or organic farms, prime-going regions, artisan producers. All I'm getting at is, if you like fresh stuff, Unforked is the place to be. And like they say it, fork or no fork, you can be sure you're getting the highest quality, socially responsible ingredients possible. And not to mention, It's delicious. So whether you're out south or downtown, stop by Unforked for a delicious and healthy meal. Sheridan's Unforked. Honest, clean food.
Menards is our go-to store when we update our house. We're adding new lights and seeing all the latest styles. The selection was amazing. And we found matching Patriot lighting fixtures for our whole house. We are so happy with the final touches that Patriot Lighting adds to our home. Enjoy exquisite elegance and superior craftsmanship with Patriot Lighting.
Save 11% on everything now at Menards. Good through January 26th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome back. Golf Underground on ESPN Radio. We're having a blast today, Wardo. I said it again.
We're having a ball.
How lucky are we?
We got number five in the studio here.
Number five.
He's, you know, there's snow on the ground out there, so he's not playing today.
No.
I know. You're right. If we didn't get him today, we may never get him.
Never.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, we
good timing.
Well, that's good. Outstanding. All right, yeah, so we are with George Brett again, one of Kansas City's finest. Now, before the break, guys, we talked about how, this is all about, I think the objective of the radio show is to help people become better golfers, right? Absolutely. And have more fun doing it. Right, and I think you said when you're playing well, it's fun.
Yeah, it's
when
no
you're
fun
not playing
to go
well,
out there and play bad.
It's no fun, right? But you got to work on it. I think that's the key lesson: is you got to practice.
Going back to what I did last week when I was playing golf out there, the first three holes I was having a blast. Yep. Next six holes, hit it in the desert. It's not fun.
Yeah, it's not fun.
That wasn't fun.
Yeah,
it's not fun hitting three every second shot.
No,
because that's what you do out there rather than re-tee it. Okay, it went in over. You drop and hitting three. I'm going. It's no fun.
I know that feeling. Believe me.
And that's why I went and took 2-hour lesson.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to have fun again.
Right.
2-hour lesson, but he paid for 1 hour.
No, I paid for two.
He likes things for free.
Yeah. Who doesn't?
Why not?
Who doesn't?
Why not?
Jigger, if you're listening out there, yes, he actually paid for something. Mark it down.
Well, he showed me before we got on the air what he does pay for.
Yeah, the sweatshirt.
Oh, yeah.
The sweatshirt. The stable sweatshirt.
God,
I don't even have one of those. I don't even know where to get that.
Among the wipes, too. You pay for the wipes.
Exactly.
All right, but we talked about how do you, because you two are both coaches, as it relates to golf, how do you identify how much detail you should get into with those you're coaching? I want to use you as an example because you work with George, right?
Yeah.
So how do you add value to him? Because he's different than the way you'd coach me. Right, so how do you know, Wardo? That's a tough one. And George, I want to play it back to you because you must go through this with the minor leaguers. Some guys you can inspire them. Some need more tactical stuff. I don't know, right? So how do you peel back that onion to get to it?
Honestly, it oftentimes becomes a lot of dialogue, a lot of questions. No different than going to the doctor. You go to the doctor and figure out what's wrong with you before he gives you the medicine. No different here. We're going to figure out, we're going to watch him hit balls. We're going to see how he, tell me about your body, what hurts, what doesn't, how are you moving? And then from there, your body changes every day. Every day we all wake up, something feels different, good, bad, or indifferent. And so I just interview him and ask him a lot of questions on how he learns. Are you visual? Are you more of a feel guy? Are you audible? And so just basically figuring out what works for him, and then I'll adapt to how he learns best.
Got it.
And so that there's so much out there right now with video and instruction and KVET, the whole deal, all the biomechanical stuff, that it becomes information overload. And those of you that are listening, all you guys want is content. You want the swing tip of the day, you want video, you want content. Well, if we can help simplify things, my whole goal is to try to get guys to simplify and own their own code. And so we talk a lot about that with guys that are in the program, is just, can you own your own code? I don't want to be there for every shot that you hit. I want you to be able to self-diagnose and say, right, oh, wait, I did that here. Yeah. In George's case, he's talking about face rotation now. Yeah. Okay, yeah, I kept the face closed, or I didn't open the toe enough, and that's why I smother hooked it into the desert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I remember the things that we worked on, the one of the first two things that we worked on was posture. You said my posture was really bad. I was kind of slumped over a little bit. And then it was cement your feet in the ground.
Grip the ground,
You stick your feet. I mean, feel like you're reaching, your toes are reaching in there and grabbing the ground to give you a good base. Huh. And then you'll have a better posture. But when you just stand there and slouch over, you come up, then your body's all out of whack.
Yeah.
And when I won that week, when I was playing you guys and Norton and those guys, that's all I thought about every shot. I'm not kidding you. Stick, Uh-huh. Nail your feet in the ground and have good posture.
And did it and then just allow just you to turn
then
more?
What
was the byproduct?
I think it just keeps the club on the plane longer.
Absolutely.
I think that's what it does.
You know,
if you have good posture, you're not going to be, your body's not going to be going up and down. You're sitting there, you got your weight, your feet screwed into the ground, and then you're up posture, and then you just take it away. And I thought posture, what was it? It was posture. Tempo, and then I thought tempo, and that's it. That's all it was.
Just simplifying it. Ball position, you know.
I still don't know ball position.
Yeah,
well, I still don't know that.
Well, it's not easy.
No,
it's hard. It's it's hard. You can't see yourself.
The hardest thing for me in golf is alignment. I think sometimes I just get so aligned.
Get open.
You stand there and you look at the target, then you go, wait a second, I feel like I'm lined up 30 yards left.
Yeah.
And then I step back and I kind of get up there, and then all of a sudden. But a lot of times when I hit an errant shot, I think it's all alignment.
Yeah.
90% of us. I just get lazy.
Yeah.
You get lazy.
Yeah.
90% of us don't know how to aim. And so, again, that's something you got to practice.
Right.
Back to the tools. You know, if you're going to spend your couple hours a week actually trying to better your game so that you can get down to a scratch, like you told Wardo, I hear it all the time, is we got to work. You got to work on the fundamentals, no different than what George has said. We all kind of neglect the fundamentals, posture, ball position, the whole nine yards. So you got to work if you really want to get better so that when you do play guys like George in the club championship, you don't get roasted.
Well,
like me.
And you know, to get back on the alignment, every time you see a really good player on the range, what's he got? He's got that little aiming stick.
Yeah. Or an aiming
He's got
stick.
That
yeah.
aiming stick there.
I have
He's
like,
got the aiming
right.
stick. I didn't even know how to, where do I line it up?
Yeah.
Do I line it up at the target? Do I line it up to the right of the target because I'm left-handed? Do I line it up to the
right?
Never used it
because
I didn't want to go out there and practice something bad.
Well, maybe we'll put a video out there on how to use the aiming stick.
I think you got to do that.
You got to do that.
People, because they're there.
Yeah.
At all country clubs, they have them.
They're everywhere. I've never used them.
Everybody carries them in their bag.
Yep. Well, I never use it.
Because you're going to just develop bad habits if it's not lined up, right?
That's all right.
True.
What makes good posture, though? All right. So let's say someone's starting golf. They're listening to the radio program. And, you know, I know I've often heard it's put your butt out like you're sitting on a bar stool. Give them some tips that maybe even helped you, George.
So honestly, part of good posture where I start is in the gym or giving people exercises to strengthen their back. As I'm sitting here right now, I'm slunched over. Yeah. Well, guess what?
Not you me. Know, look.
Exactly.
Look at me, Wardo.
Shoulders peel back. So I think we all sleep on our sides. We all sit at a desk when we're grinding. We're doing a lot of things in poor posture. And so then when we go to the golf course, guess what? We're in poor posture.
Right.
So that's something to start on, is just being able to get in good posture without even having a golf club in your hand or not working on it when you get to the course. Sure, you're going to have to get in good posture, but it's pretty simple to get in good posture and then really get athletic with a setup.
It would be like sitting on one of those athletic rubber balls.
Correct.
You sit on those, wouldn't you? Like you do your work. I went to an office here in town. I forget the name of the office. There wasn't one guy sitting in a chair. They all sat on those big rubber balls.
Yep.
And everybody was sitting straight up like this. They weren't like this at their desk all crouched over, you know, slumped over. They were all perfectly erect.
Yep.
Shoulders out, because you can't sit like that on
You'll
fall forward.
Right. Yeah.
So, I think that's the key, is just getting in a good, stable posture and then really basically activating, or as Tiger likes to say, activating your glutes. So, again, getting into the ground, what George is alluding to, I think that's the stable base that you can really rotate and turn around your axis.
Yeah, that's a good tip. It really is, because when if you see my swing, I look like a rubber band, but in all the wrong ways. And typically when I'm not doing that, my head, I sway. And the other thing I do is I come up.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah. Stand up.
Well, when you're lazy and you're not built, you really do have a tendency to bounce that
posture,
head around.
But if you had better posture, your head wouldn't come up,
exactly.
Would it?
Yeah. Exactly.
All right, another question. Back to the alignment and where you should be aiming. How precise do you have to be in, let's say I'm on the tee, right? And you got a trap on the left, you got some woods on the right. I mean, should I be trying to narrow this thing down to a 10-yard, almost like a par 3? Is that how my brain should be looking? Because I think I get real lazy where it's just a big old fairway, swing away.
Okay, I'm going to tell you what I heard. That really good golfers, they will not only look at a tree, they'll look at a branch.
Huh. Yeah.
They'll really bring it in. You know, because a lot of times when you go out there and you say, I'm just going to lay up, I'm hitting the fairway.
Right.
You miss the fairway.
Right.
But if you really narrow it down, is that true?
No, that's great.
You gotta pick out something in the background and you're okay, that tree. No, I'm going to aim for the trunk of that tree rather than that tree that's, you know, 20 yards wide.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
you know, whatever.
Yeah. I think if you can
I've
really
always
narrow,
heard that. And do I ever do it? No, I never do it.
You do it. I think if you can really narrow in your
your focus. Vision and your focus, then if you do miss it, the miss isn't as big. You know, the big miss isn't as play as much. I think some people see shapes as well, or the shot shape they want to see, which I do a lot of, high, low, right to left, left to right, all that. And some people even pick out an intermediary target, which I don't do much of, but it works for some. So again, I
describe think, that, an intermediary.
So if your ball is here and you've got a intermediary target 12 or 14, 2 feet in front of you.
Oh, okay.
And so then you're trying to hit it over that little speck of grass or right. in front of you. I don't do that, but that works for a lot of great players out there. So again, I think you got to play around with what works for you, because there is no one right answer on that.
Yeah, got it. All right, listen, we're going to go to commercial break. We just finished the back nine, Wardo.
Yeah, the back nine.
I know you got
nine.
The front nine, great. You got the back nine. But you know what? Where I have most fun, I'm an Irish guy. My father owned an Irish pub in Connecticut. You know, what's my favorite hole, Wardo?
The 19th
hole. That's the 19th hole, baby. Right? So we're coming to my favorite part of the show. You two fancy golfers, enough of you. I'm representing the fat, the short
Kevin
fat.
And I got to go work out still.
Oh, geez, show offs. All right, we're with George Brett on Golf Underground on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to Golf Underground on ESPN Kansas City, 94.5 FM.
This month, something new is taking off at Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. Introducing the Rocket Pig Sandwich, featuring pulled pork tossed in a sweet hot barbecue glaze, bacon, pepper jack cheese, and barbecue mayo topped off with fried jalapenos, all on a toasted bun. It's your favorite Kansas City barbecue with a kick. The new Rocket Pig Sandwich is now available at all three locations. The original at 47th and Mission, 119th and Strangline, and my home Joe's at 117th and Row.
Hi, this is Brian Sullivan, co-host of Golf Underground on ESPN Kansas City. Hey, when I'm not bringing my fantastic double-digit handicap to the course, my company, Precise Selling, works with companies to create sales champions. Hey, the best golfers get to the top by having a swing process and a game plan. From the time they step on the first tee to the time they finish their putt on 18. Now at Precise Selling, we teach salespeople how to prepare for each sales call. We give them a process to steal customers from their biggest competitor, sell more to current customers, and negotiate like a pro. So come see me at PreciseSelling.com to learn how we can help turn your team into a team of top sales performers.
Hey guys, it's Frank Bohl. You've heard me talk about the Freedom Loan from A1 Mortgage, and you've heard current Freedom Loan customers explain how they've cut their mortgages in half. Unlike conventional loans that pay mostly interest and little principal, the Freedom Loan works just the opposite. It pays mostly principal, thus cutting out thousands in interest and years of payments. This is why people with a Freedom Loan are able to pay off their homes in less than 10 years. Here's the part that blows everyone away. You don't have to change your spending habits. That's right. Without spending a dollar more than you do now, you can be on your way to paying off your home in half the time and being debt-free. Call A1 Mortgage today and pay no out-of-pocket closing costs and have your loan closed in about a week. A1 Mortgage, 816-822-8888, 816-822-8888, or apply online at myA1Mortgage.com.
A1 Mortgage Group, LLC, a Kansas licensed mortgage company. License number MC00164 9, Missouri license 16-1556, animal list number 268370. Terms and conditions apply, subject to change without notice.
Welcome back, ESPN Radio, Hot Talk 1510, and 94.5 on the FM dial. We're having another good time. Blessed and honored to have George Brett. You may know him as an amazing all-star baseball player. Certainly, no one's been better for Kansas City, or certainly the Kansas City Royals. But what's fun about today's show is we're not talking a lot of baseball.
No.
That's been done before.
You've done that.
It's already been done.
Been there, done that.
Now, golf, you got a new passion. Well, it's not new, but golf is your passion. But I'm interested. Not in the front nine, the back nine. I like the 19th hole, George.
Okay.
All right. And
it's one of my favorites,
yeah.
Also.
Now, your reputation is not one of boredom. Man. People seem to have fun around you.
Yeah.
Which is why
I try
golf.
To have fun.
Yeah.
I try to have fun.
Yeah. So, yeah. Wardo, you do have a favorite George Brett story you'd like to tee up.
You know, it's a good one that I like to have him tell. And so, George, tell us what happened that one morning at spring training and what happened, more importantly, what happened the night before in Las Vegas when.
You know what? I don't know what to think of this stuff. In 1980, playing in my first World Series, and almost hitting 400 and going to the proctologist, and he asked me all these questions about why I had hemorrhoids, and I did the interview process with him, and, you know, he says, how's your diet? And I said, not good. I'm 27 years old. You know, have you been under any pressure lately? Yeah, a lot of pressure lately. You know, and just all kinds of things like that. And he said, yeah, you're a perfect candidate for hemorrhoids. So I was the hemorrhoid guy.
Yes, you were.
From October of 1980 to July 24th, 1983. And then I became the pine tar guy when I hit the home run off Goose.
Mm-hmm.
And about 5 or 6 years ago, I'm talking to these minor leaguers, and somebody had said that they had an accident the night before. They went to the bathroom in their pants, you know, and I said, oh, my God, I got to tell you guys a story. And I knew I was mic'd up, but, you know, you figure that Channel 5 or KCT, whatever it was,
yeah,
they're not going to send that out over, you know, where it's going to go viral. They're just going to chop that part off. And it was about a 5-minute conversation. And I remember being in Vegas with Secret Santa, Larry Stewart, the guy that used to roll around.
Yeah.
And I was there with some guys, and I went over and, they were there, and I happened to be there playing in a golf tournament. And I was playing at a golf tournament at Shadow Creek, and they were there. So I went over to see them. And we went over to Kokomo's at the Mirage Hotel, I think, and the guy came over and he gave us a bunch of crab legs, fresh crab legs. You guys are going to love this. Thanks for coming in again. So sure enough, we go there, and then we go gambling, and next thing you know, my stomach doesn't feel very good. And God, I said, man, I got to go. My stomach's killing me. So I started walking through the lobby, and the next thing you know, I'm at attention. I mean, I'm frozen. I can't even move.
Good posture.
I had great posture. And finally, my stomach, oh, God, it was just cramping up so bad. And I said, oh, okay, I think I can make it. I took one step, and I was froze again. And I probably had the worst case of diarrhea of anybody that's ever been born, and I was telling this to these guys. Well, some idiot gets fired from the TV station. He steals that tape and puts it on the internet. So then I went from the hemorrhoid guy to the pine tar guy to the guy that poops his pants all the time, you know? I don't know. I like the pine tar one a lot more, but I think the poopy one's better than the hemorrhoid one. You know, because everybody's done it. I mean, everybody gets sick.
Oh, yeah.
So now let's fast forward a couple years. This is unbelievable. Last year, I go to a restaurant, get some oysters. I go home. I get so sick. I end up going to the hospital. I spent 2 nights in the hospital. I had AFib so bad.
Oh, no.
They put the shock on me.
No way.
Yes. Yes.
Yeesh.
In the hospital 2 days.
You're doomed.
Then I'm in Arizona last year and having dinner at the Sanctuary Hotel. And some guy had a little shrimp thing. So I had oysters. I had crab. Then I said, yeah, let me have a shrimp. I go home that night.
Same thing.
Got sick again.
So seafood's
so
not in your deal.
No, seafood's great. But I think I've developed an allergic reaction to shellfish.
Yeah.
And everybody asked me about lobster. I said, I'm never going to find out. I don't want to find out.
No kidding.
Because it's the last 3 times I've had shellfish, I've gotten really sick.
So there's 2 types of people in this world. And what
those that have and those that haven't, basically.
Those that haven't. They don't exist, by
yes,
the way.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
No, they're liars.
Yeah. If not, they're too young. So.
Yeah. You know, probably the famous Sullivan story was my son was 3 years old on an airplane and blew up the whole aisle. Take him in. I'm changing him. He painted the inside of the bathroom on American Airlines.
Wow.
So, yeah, he was like
I flew American
Michelangelo.
Yesterday. Yeah, I flew American yesterday. I think I was on that same plane.
Smelled good, didn't it?
Yeah.
So no, but Kevin, I'm sorry.
So your other famous story, let's walk in as we wrap this thing up. Let's take a deep dive into the pine tar incident. Let's hear the lives. We've heard it from everyone else. Let's hear it from George.
Okay, well, they took out some guy that I didn't like facing, and they brought, it's the same thing that happened in the 80 playoffs. They brought him in to face UL Washington, Goose Gossage, and UL got a base hit off him, and that brought me up, and sure enough, I hit a foul ball, a home run foul down the left field line, because Goose was throwing about 99 miles an hour.
Yep.
And he didn't like me already for what I've did to him in 1980.
Yep.
And to this day, he swears that he was trying to hit me in the neck with that pitch.
No way.
And then sure enough, he threw a fastball up and in, and I tomahawked it, and it went out. It would have been a line drive off the wall in Kansas City, but Yankee Stadium's so short. So I run around the bases feeling pretty good, and we're winning 5-4, and I catch home plate, and next thing you know, I get in the dugout, and everybody's looking, yelling, and look out there, and I see Billy Martin out there, and he's got the bat, and I'm going, what the hell's going on? So I'm just sitting in the dugout, and I'm going, I know it's not corked, and yeah. I didn't know anything about pine tar, yeah. And so I'm just sitting there, and all of a sudden, Frank White says to me, he says, you know, I think they might call you out for having too much pine tar. I said, well, I've never heard of that. Oh, yeah, it happened to John Mayberry back in 1976. I'm going, I don't remember. So, sure enough, all of a sudden, the umpires are, you know, talking. He goes down and sticks it on the ground, measures the bat. There's a rule in Major League Baseball that you cannot have pine tar more than 18 inches from the handle of your bat up the barrel.
Yeah. How far was it?
And it was 23.
Okay.
But I didn't know.
Yeah, right.
And it's right before the trademark.
Right.
And so, and the bats I used back then, well, my whole career, they were unfinished. So it was just raw ash wood.
Yeah.
So it, a lot of the pine tar had bled, you know, because I didn't have a finish on the bat. So it bled into the grain, and there's dirt in there, and there's rosin. So it looked a lot worse than it really was.
Yeah.
Well, the umpires called me out, and I ran out there. And
you weren't angry, were you?
Yeah, I was a little upset. and so I ran out there, and the next thing you know, it's everywhere. It's everywhere, but that's what I'm remembered for.
I want to know what Billy Martin's face looked like when you were...
Well, he wasn't there. Billy was
in the
dugout.
He was in the dugout.
He was in the dugout. I don't know. All I know is Tim McClellan's face, who's 6'5", weighs about 250. He wasn't scared at all.
Really?
And in fact, he always says, George, what were you going to do to me? I'm 6'5", I weigh 250. I got shin guards on, I got a chest protector, and I got a bat in one hand and a mask in the other. What were you going to do to me if you got there? Well, Joe Brinkman, an umpire, he grabbed me from behind, and so that never happened. But I was never going to strike an umpire
because
if you do that, you're obviously suspended for life.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed playing the game too much. But it's weird. People are remembered for certain things.
Sure.
You know, Bill Buckner, what's he remembered for? You know, unfortunately, the guy had 2,900 hits.
Right.
He's remembered for one thing.
Right.
He's remembered for one thing.
True.
And that's what I'm remembered for. I wish it was, you know, I'm kind of glad it was, because it kind of shows the passion and the desire I had to win.
Yes.
You know, I didn't do that after I beat Wardo on the golf course.
You
I didn't have. Run around and do anything. I shook his hand like a man. I said, you want to go out and have dinner tonight? And he says, no. No, I'm never talking to you again.
No.
Wardo, did you check his clubs?
I know.
Oh,
I did
that's
not.
What everybody says
now.
Do you know what I really want to do? I want to get black spray paint and just spray paint the shaft.
I'm sure one
halfway
of your
down, halfway
sure
down.
One of the club manufacturers will do it for
every
you,
time I play golf with somebody I've never. He said, "Hey, can I check your clubs for pine tar?" I go, "Man, I only took you six holes. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right. See. Well, listen. I think you nailed it. Your enthusiasm, your love, your passion for the game.
Yeah,
it bleeds to everyone. Mm-hmm. You know, it really is. You know, and I hate to bring up another cliche, but enthusiasm, it gets infectious, but it's fun. What I love about you is you're still living life at the highest level. You're having a blast. You're making memories. You're making friends. I mean, you treat the likes of a Wardo or a new guy like me who you meet, you bring energy to all of them. And I tell you what, if hopefully this show does that, makes people live, live. Golf is a vehicle to live, do a few things, bring love, bring passion, bring process. And my God, you're doing it right.
Did you read the article on Lynn Elliott the other day in the paper?
I didn't.
There was a great quote. He said, after the game was over, when he missed those field goals against the Colts, he came in and a few guys came over and patted him on the back. And he says, man, you know, everybody felt like somebody died, but nobody did.
That's true. Yeah.
Nobody did.
Isn't that true?
And it was a great little quote that he had. And I'll never forget that.
Yeah.
As bad as you think it is. It's just an obstacle.
That's right.
It's just an obstacle. He's moved on. He's got a very successful life.
Yeah.
And we all can do that.
Amen.
We all can do that.
Amen to that. Well, listen, George, thank you again.
Okay.
Man, this is so
pleasure
fun.
Pleasure being with
you,
George.
This was a quick hour of Wardo.
Quick hour.
All right. Well, listen, hey, I hope you enjoyed yourself. So many more stories. We're going to have great guests coming on PGA, and we got Gary Woodland in the pipeline.
We probably got Seabass from Bushnell.
We got Seabass. We got a lot of them, if he'll come on here.
Yeah. And maybe we can get George before it gets too nice out. Maybe he can co-host with us a few times. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, we're not.
You never know.
Do a show from Arizona.
I like that.
Perfect.
I like that. Hey, well, listen, I hope you enjoyed the 19th hole. That's sponsored by My Back Fat. I hope you enjoyed the Golf Underground. You join us next and every Monday afternoon at 3 p.m. ESPN Radio. Our goal is to make you smarter and make you enjoy this great game of golf. So come on back, ESPN Radio.
This is Golf Underground on ESPN Kansas City, 94.5 FM.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. My employees and I would like to thank you for making MyPillow possible. Years ago, when I invented MyPillow, I thought I was the only one out there with problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I'd flip-flop all night, or wake up with a sore neck or headache. So that's why I invented MyPillow. You can adjust MyPillow's patented fill to your exact individual needs to help you get to sleep faster and stay there longer, to get the quality sleep you need. I back it with my 10-year warranty and my 60-day money-back guarantee.
Hey, Breaking the Norm listeners, the MyPillow 4-pack offer is back. That's two premium MyPillows plus two Go Anywhere pillows. And how about this? Free shipping. We're also extending our money-back guarantee to March 1st of 2019. Visit MyPillow.com or call 800-950-7846 and use the promo code NORM22. That's MyPillow.com or call 800-950-7846 with promo code NORM22. Free shipping is only for the 4-pack offer.
Trade show booths, window graphics, wall graphics, marketing material, and point-of-sale displays are just a few of the many items that LargePrint.com creates. Since 2006, LargePrint.com has served the creative and print needs of businesses locally and nationally. Visit LargePrint.com in KC to see the extensive range of products they create. They are also experts in print portals for companies with multiple locations. LargePrint.com can save time and money in fulfillment. Check them out at LargePrint.com.
All right, George, one of my favorite stories. There's a lot of great George stories, but the one where you're really hungover playing a...
How about just not feeling well?
Yeah, just okay, yeah. Just not
feeling, well.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, so we trained in Fort Myers, and it was a three-hour bus ride. This is back in the... Oh, God, it had to be back in the 70s, maybe early 80s. And I was single and was out too late one night and got home rather early in the morning. And the bus left at 6:15 for a ride, a bus ride to West Palm Beach. We were playing the Braves. And I got off that bus and I didn't feel like playing. The last thing in the world I wanted to do was play a baseball game. And down there, it's pretty hot. About 11 o'clock, we're taking batting practice, and I'm just completely soaked from sweat, you know, before the game even starts. And I'm playing third base, and all of a sudden, we're in the first base dugout, and I'm saying, okay, now I can have a wasted day, or I could make something out of this day. And I'm going to choose the latter. I'm going to make something out of this day. No, I was playing first base. I was playing first base that day. So sure enough, I get up my first at-bat, and I fly out or ground out or something, and I run as hard as I could to first, which I always did anyways. Yeah. But then I ran as hard as I could back to the third base dugout afterwards. And everybody in the stands kind of, there's about 6,000-7,000 people there. And they're going, man, what's wrong with this guy? So now, the bottom of the first inning, I run out to first base, and I sprint. And I'm throwing ground balls as hard as I can to my infielders. I mean, it looks like I'm on greenies or I've taken, you know, 18 Red Bulls, you know, one of those things. And I'm stretching and I'm throwing it and I'm yelling and screaming. Now all these guys by first base, they're just laughing. They're going, hey, man, that away, George. And I said, I'm going to have fun today. You guys better have fun with me. So sure enough, the second inning I run out there, I slide into first base. I slide. Pop-up slide. Now I got my own rooting crew, you know, all Braves fans or something. They're about 50 people. They're going crazy. They're young. I'm their new favorite player. So sure enough, the third at-bat, I fly out or something, and I ran all the way around the bases. Flew out to, like, deep center field. Touch first, touch second, touch third, and then ran right in the dugout. And everybody in the stands is kind of going, man, this guy's wired up today. Fourth inning, I run out there, hook slide into first base. Hook slide.
No
Finally,
way.
The manager takes me out of the game in the sixth. I got my three at-bats. And he said, okay, all the guys that out, just go out there and run eight foul liners. So you would run from the left field line to the 385 sign and then walk to the foul line, and then you do eight of those. And I ran them as hard as I could. And then I went in and I took a shower. And I went and sat on the bus. I woke up when we were in Fort Myers and didn't even know we left Palm Beach.
Wow. How old were you at this time?
27, 28 years
That's
old.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Amazing.
But, you know, I made a negative out of a positive, or positive out of a negative. I didn't want to play.
Yep.
I didn't want to play.
Yep.
But I went out there and I got my work in and actually felt really good about it the next day.
That's a hell of a lesson.
It's kind of a lesson for all the sales guys that work for you and you coach, you know, when you're got to answer the bell the next Friday morning or whatnot, and you're hurting a little
regardless of how you feel. And you know what it is? It's just the effort you put into it.
And preparation it's a choice. And effort. It's a choice though, George, right?
And I felt so good. I felt so good when I got back to Fort Myers. I said, damn, man, I feel good.
Yeah.
So for I went to the chart house, sat around, and had a bunch of oysters and oysters and shrimp that night because that's where I used to eat all the time. Sit at the bar and have oysters and shrimp.
Oh, that's fun. So for all you that are hurting or don't want to answer the bell, come to class in the mornings, just show up. That's what I tell you. Just show up. The rest is half a life is showing up. And clearly George crushed it that day back when he was a young lad.
And didn't know any better.
Yeah. Now he's a champion.
Now I go to bed at 9 o'clock at night.
Now he say, hey, that's exclusive content on the stable, my friend.
I love it.
All right. George Brett, thanks for joining us. You're the best.